All right, boys and girls, it's story time. Here's the setting. The back kitchen of a restaurant, Eastern New York. It's hot. And not just kitchen hot. It's summer in the 1800s hot. A guy named George is prepping dinner for a rich steamship owner. It's poultry of some kind. It all tastes like chicken. And French fries. It's smelling good. But when the rich guy gets his food, he complains. The fries are too thick. Now, as the story goes, George is 50% black, 50% Native American, and 0% down for Commodore Cornelius Vanderbilt's sass. Yes, of course the rich guy is named Cornelius Vanderbilt. Anyway, George was not about to have another plate sent back. He took the knife and shaved the thinnest, skinniest pieces of potato he could. He tossed them into the oil and fried them to a crisp. Ha! That'll show old Cornelius. But boys and girls, take note. This is an example of a plot twist. The Commodore loved them. The owner of the restaurant declared them their new signature dish, served in delicate paper cones, and George would later go on to open his own restaurant where other rich guys would wait for hours for so-called Saratoga chips. And they all lived happily ever after. That's the widely accepted origin story of potato chips. While scholars and researchers have debunked most of it and claim we'll never know the real story, here's what we do know for sure. We're just glad they were born. Americans munch down more than 1.5 billion pounds of potato chips every year. But when you're cruising down the potato chip aisle or browsing the break room vending machine and you're pondering what to get for snack time, you know not every chip is created equal. Well, so do these guys.
It's unique. There's nothing like it on the market but us.
On this episode of Abby Eats St. Louis, we are scooping up handfuls of red hot riblets, the bag of chips that's become all that and so much more. It's a crinkle cut, seasoning caked, sweet, smoky, salty piece of deliciousness. It's inspired sibling products and creative chefs and generations of St. Louis kids, and they've recently had a red hot revival.
It's a sweet barbecue, but it kicks that little bit of heat at the end, and then it lingers and it sticks with you. And then you're addicted, and then you order it, and then you share it with your friends, and then your friends want you to order it, and it just goes on from there.
How a small company with a secret recipe became a lifestyle brand.
Everybody wants this little yellow square on everything.
Why they're totally fine sticking close to home.
Because we are a St. Louis business.
What, a 50-mile radius?
Yes, a 50-mile radius from downtown St. Louis.
And the great debate that might really define St. Louis in general. Another story. This one about 80 years after George's and in St. Louis. A man named Louis Kaufman started the Old Vienna potato chip business downtown. While that name didn't change, ownership did. Quite a bit, actually. Until finally the Old Vienna Snack Company crumbled like a bag of riblets at the bottom of your backpack. But kind of like how you take that crumpled chip bag, you tip it upside down and drink up the crumbs because you're still hungry. Well, that's what some new owners did, with a special focus on what they call a fiery St. Louis tradition.
Burke talks about he remembers the guy whose idea it was to
order
Red Hot,
that.
And everyone was like...
It was in the 70s, though, when the Red Hot Riblets came out, so...
And the initial, like, everyone feared that it'd be a strikeout. I don't know about
they were, yes, in the 70s. Yeah, in the 70s, they were very, very worried that it was going to be too hot, because we were different on that level from other hot chips, is that we... like just douse those chips in that seasoning.
They were like,
oh, they're not gonna like it, it's too hot. So, and now we get people that call in and say, oh, it's not hot enough, and it's like, oh my goodness, it's like
Old Vienna wouldn't exist today had they not ran a Red Hot Riblet.
I tell people now that the Red Hot Riblets are our bread and butter. That's how I explain it.
The manufacturing itself is now done out of state. The longtime downtown headquarters moved to Fenton. But there's still a fiery team of Riblets Ragers totally crushing the potato chip game. In a good way, though.
I'm Alicia Schaefer, and I am the office administrator, and I've been with the company for 16 years.
Kirk Steinmetz, one of two sales district managers. I've been here 2 years.
We were talking in the office just outside the main distribution warehouse.
We have 11 routes that go within the city, and those 11 routes go and service all of our stores and our locations.
This is where they stock their trucks.
Yes. And then we do have our bigger companies like Schnucks, and that'll come and they'll pick up product as well sometimes. So, but for the most part, we're just the hub here.
So we're receiving trailer loads, mm-hmm. Three times a week?
Mm-hmm.
Off the trailers onto our route trucks and go from
and
there.
Out into the streets. A lot of people, the main question you get is, where can I find the product? And because we are a St. Louis business.
What, a 50-mile radius?
Yes, a 50-mile radius from downtown St. Louis. But also, a lot of our product line is a 2.5-ounce bag. And it retails at the store for $1.69. So you're going to find our product more in gas stations, convenience stores, liquor stores, mom-and-pop shops. You'll find the biggest variety, our popcorns, our chips, all that. The grocery stores will only carry the Red Hot Ripples and the corn chips. So we are, if it wasn't for our small community and our small, you know, stores, mom-and-pop shops, we wouldn't be in business as much as we are. And that's our main line of vendors. We rely on the little stores. And like I said, they'll carry the bigger varieties of it.
Perception that we're a large company, but we're not.
Right.
It's like we're truly hometown. You know, we're not Frito-Lay out here.
We are
going
not.
Coast to coast. We're St. Louis. So, mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of transplants that hit us up on. When did you open up sales on the internet?
The sales on the internet didn't go until 2010. And before
that, really changed things, because a lot of people are like, we're hooked on your products. We're from St. Louis. We've moved to such and such.
We started the website in 2010, and then we updated it 2 years ago because of the impact that it had. So, but before that, I mean, there was no old Vienna online. We did have people that would write us letters and send us a check and be like, I'm in Iowa. I need some chips. And we would send it to them. And then it just led eventually to the website. So, but yeah, you can't get us.
We don't have routes on the street there because of the cost of fuel and just to be efficient. Like I said, 50-mile radius, mm-hmm. 11 routes.
So staying small is partially a business decision.
Yes.
But I think it also seems to lend to the brand identity.
Exactly.
Tell me a little bit about that. Maybe initial, was there any hesitation to even go to online sales? Or how do you kind of, I don't want to say cling to, but how do you hold on to that small company feel for the product's sake too?
Well, it was kind of hesitant to do the online because they were like, we hadn't had many people that had asked for it before. It was new to us. And with us being such a small company, we didn't know if we were going to be able to handle it. But we maybe averaged, when we first started, we might have averaged 5 cases a month. Now we average 15 cases.
No matter how hard they may try, some parts of Red Hot Ripplets just can't stay small. Even the literal smallest part of the chip, the seasoning.
The seasoning is probably 17. The most talked about in the last couple of years. When the seasoning came out in 2017 or 16, I'm sorry, I don't remember which, but it was just the 3.45-ounce bottle. We sold 1,000 bottles in 48 hours, and that was the very first time that seasoning had been put to the public. It came out so quickly we had to shut our website down.
I was going to say, that's when you guys had to
Shut our website down because we were having so many orders come in.
And there's not many employees here. It's like,
no,
that was
we are less than 20. We are less than 20 employees at this location, and those thousands of bottles were packed between myself and the other district sales manager and Andy Doyle. Yeah, it was packed individually, put into my van, and taken to the post office to ship them out.
Wait, so you had to actually, like, throw them in your car?
Yes, we actually took every bottle, put it in the envelope, slapped the label on it, and then we just loaded boxes of those envelopes into my van, and I took them straight to the post office that day because we sold them so quickly.
Every bottle, there's 8 hands that touched.
Yeah,
that's
it. We wanted to make sure that when that went out that quickly, it sold that quickly, we wanted to make sure the public got it, you know, within a few days. But yeah, in this little office that you see here is where it happened. It was like a little assembly line. One person put the seasoning in there.
I mean, that's our main goal, though. Just service that can't be beat on timely deliveries.
For as little as employees if we have. We have a really big impact on
community. Our service there. So
I always make the joke when people call in for orders. I'm like, don't share with your friends. I know your parents always told you when you were a child, you have to share. It's the nice thing to do. I was like, don't do it. And when they share it, then they order 3 or 4 more cases the next time. But it's just, you're not going to find that combination of that heat and that barbecue anywhere else.
It's hard to go to a St. Louis proud restaurant and not see something that has Red Hot Riblets or Red Hot Riblets seasoning on the menu. Why do you think that is?
Because they're like us. They're the small town business too. They want to keep it incorporated with St. Louis. We had so many people that reached out to us that asked if they could do. And it's just because we're St. Louis. 314 Day. I know you guys know 314 Day. And that is another thing that blew up with our seasoning and everything else, too. I mean,
that seasoning complements so many different items. Oh, my goodness.
We had people that were putting it in ice cream.
Yeah.
Like they were, you know, fries, wings, of course. But there are so many different combinations of people that reached out to us just from St. Louis that some of the concoctions they were coming up with.
A beer.
We did have a beer. Yeah, and what's the one that does the, the sausage.
Oh, a Joyous.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Do you guys get to try any of this?
Oh, we get to try it all. We normally get to try a lot of it. We do.
That Kirkwood popcorn.
I see.
It's like a chocolate. There's a sweet and spicy.
We've had a lot of people that have done things, but unfortunately, like, I need to get to Kirkwood this weekend to get some of the popcorn that she just came out with because it was awesome. So it's kind of hard to narrow down a favorite because they're all good.
That's not to say their in-house creations aren't good on their own. Even the people who spend their day surrounded in cases of the stuff have their favorites.
You take that initial bite and you're like, oh, it's like a barbecue. It's kind of spicy. Give it a second or two, and then that heat hits you, and then it lingers. And they're like, oh, I have to have more. My favorite is the hot cheese popcorn, because it's cheese popcorn with the Red Hot Riblet seasoning on it. I ate that like it was going out of style when I was pregnant with my kids. My husband didn't really ever eat the chips, but when the seasoning came out, the seasoning is on everything in our house. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, but those are my favorites. The seasoning, though, has that sweet heat and barbecue to it. And it's just crazy that you could put that on anything and it tastes just like the chips. It
really is the best hot chip in the world.
It is.
But I'm currently hooked on, like, I'm trying to keto. And so we got a Red Hot
pork
skin and cracklings. So that seasoning on pork skins is top notch, too.
Before the nuggets, the next best thing were the corn chips.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because the corn chips, which are now called Red Hot corn chips, years ago were Hot Sundance. When I was in 7th grade, I ate Hot Sundance. Had no idea that it was being distributed by Old Vienna. When the Sundance company, or the people who made the Sundance chips, went out of business, we just kept on rolling with it because it was always our seasoning. It was just their corn chip. We couldn't let that product go. So it was first the Red Hot Riblets, and then we had to hang on to those corn chips. And the nuggets now are...
Nuggets are blowing up,
yeah. We're running out of stock of those all the time. We can't keep up with the demand.
Your social media presence is pretty solid, and the ambassador program, and having it become like a brand. Like, it's cool. Your shirts are cool. Most companies, you wouldn't go to their warehouse and see people walking around in a t-shirt you also wanted to wear.
Right.
But you guys have that.
When we first came out with social media, obviously the first thing we joined is Facebook. And at that point, we were not as popular as we are at this moment. When that seasoning came out, that's when those ambassadors started reaching out to us. And they're like, oh my gosh, I have to have your seasoning. Before that, they would just put the chips in whatever they could. They crushed the chips up and
they were creating their own seasoning.
Yeah, they were. But when we came out with the seasoning, then it was just, it blew up. Everybody and their brother wanted it. And so within, I say what, maybe you've been here 2 years. So I'd say within the last 4 years is really when Old Vienna had a revival.
Give me some credit. Probably 2 years.
Okay, 2 years. but no, the social media within those last few years, because of the seasoning, because of those ambassadors, and because of the small town St. Louis keeping it. I mean,
you're going to give a shout out to Series 6.
Yes. Series 6 is the one who came up with our t-shirts for us too. And then
it's a little different design. It's got the full.
That was our, yeah. Yeah, that was our most recent one. And she actually did, if you'll see on social media, that she did a hoodie for me. And then we kind of sold the hoodie within the office here. So if it was at the fall, you'd see us all wearing our hoodies right now. But that was done by Series 6 as well.
The new truck design.
Yes. So. Her design is on the new wraps on our new truck, which you need to see that before you leave. You'll see the old trucks, and then we've got the new trucks, which are... It's better.
You literally said, oh, it really is the perfect hot chip. Make that argument for me.
Oh, it's funny you say that, because talking about arguments, I've been in a store and making a delivery before, and a couple people in there, a couple guys arguing whether it was a hot chip or a barbecue chip. And I think it hits people's taste buds a little differently, because some people eat that and swear up and down that that's a barbecue chip, and other people swear up and down it's a hot chip. So it's unique. There's nothing like it on the market but us. It's truly.
Yeah. Where do you come down?
It's a hot chip for me, but
again, we're both from St. Louis area. We're coming up with our list of topics. When we first started the podcast, what we wanted to do, who we needed to talk to, obviously Red Hot Ripplets came up quite quickly, and then we finally got it scheduled. But in the meantime, we've talked to all sorts of restaurants who, again, have it on their menus in some capacity, and it's the seasoning. Just besides just the taste of it, what do you think makes it so St. Louis? Or maybe it is the taste of it that makes it so St. Louis.
I think it is the taste of it, because, like we said, in the 70s, it was something they came up with, and they're like, we don't know. But and even then, it was wanting to be kept in the St. Louis area. So
St. Louis is also unique, whereas not everyone that's buying it is at each other's throats. Like,
right.
We're all looking to build a community and help each other. Like, we forgot to mention Blue City Deli's putting it on their firecracker sandwich. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, the more success one restaurant has, another restaurant builds off that.
Exactly.
Versus the competition.
Exactly. He is completely 100% right on that.
I've had a lot of sandwiches at Joya's, and they're, oh, if you like this one, you ought to check out Blue City.
Right. And it is that. We have ambassadors. We have everybody that's... Everybody's got a wing. Everybody's got a Red Hot Ripplet fry. But there is no, like, conflict. It's like, oh my, like you said, it's...
A community.
Yeah. No, nobody is trying to outdo the other. They're all trying to embrace it and
Did
share
Did we mention
it.
St. Louis Wing Co.?
Which St. is probably Louis my Wing favorite. Company, yeah, St. Louis Wing Company, he took those wings and he still has them on his menu. He still does a special on them, and he's been doing that before we even came out with the seasoning. So, but once we came out with the seasoning, then it kind of opened up the door for all the other ambassadors. But like I said, as many as there are, there's
Bird and Barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Creativity in most places is encouraged, but don't mess with the original recipe. It was not okay when a new manufacturer took the chip too far off the old block.
Right, when we did produce downtown St. Louis, you know, we were part of the community then, and it just...
There was testing after testing and tweaks and tweaks on what I hear to make sure it stayed to the tradition.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's locked secret combination that was not given up very easily whenever we had to switch our manufacturing. So yeah, it's...
And those ripples hold the heat.
Yes, our chip is actually like designed a certain way to hold that seasoning. And when we switched manufacturers a few years ago, at first they had the ripplet just a little bit different on the ridge. And you would not believe how many people contacted us. They're like, you changed the chip. And we're like, oh my gosh, you noticed that? And it wasn't done on purpose. We were like, that was just, you know, unfortunately, we were switching manufacturers. So we were trying to tweak it. Eventually, we got it back to where we were. And then everybody's like, oh, okay, we're good. But that ripple is designed to hold all that extra seasoning, because our Red Hot Ripples, like you said, the taste of it is one thing, but we like overcoat our chips as well. And people love it.
It's part of the overall sensory experience,
exactly.
I feel like.
Exactly. If your sinuses aren't cleared while you're eating them, then they weren't seasoned properly. A lot of people will have it shipped to them for birthdays. Christmas, our sales are off the wall from all the people that are ordering because they're coming in hometown, and they'll stop by and buy cases. So it's just a little piece of St. Louis that they have to have with them. You'll have people that come in the office that buy Red Hot Ripplets. They stop at Emo's. They stop at Dad's Cookies. They stop at Fitz.
Soda.
They get a Best Soda. And you will see people that will literally drive from place to place to load up their car on St. Louis stuff.
That sounds like Dory's dream.
That was me every time I'd come home. Yeah. Yes. You're describing my trip home.
Yeah. It's been a lot of good times, weird times, crunch time for old Vienna. As they look to future times, though, they see things as brightly as their bannered logo.
Everybody wants this little yellow square on everything. We have stickers, you know, we have the t-shirts. It's,
we're a tradition.
Yeah, that's what it is. And we're just, like I said, we're coming up with new stuff. And we appreciate everything the community has done, and we hope they continue to support us. And I think that...
we'll keep it growing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done it this well with 20 employees for how many years, so...
How about that for a bag of chips?
Ooh la la! Ooh la la! Ooh la la!
Abby Eats St. Louis is a Five on Your Side production. I'm your host, Abby Larico. Executive producer is the fabulous Dory Olmos. Theme music is by Olivier Renoir, Jerome Fabi, and Pierre Dubost. History help from JSTOR. So we love you guys, and we know you love us too, so please review and rate our podcast. That's how other people can find us. And, of course, subscribe so you don't miss this Small Bite weekend preview coming up. And as always, seize the plate.